The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line today, Tuesday. So whatever's on your mind, it's down to you. If you listened to Friday's programme and heard Douglas City Councillor David Cretney, I just wonder what you thought to what Mr. Cretney had to say. And 7 years, almost 7 years to the day that the government officially bought the Steam Packet Company. The then Treasury Minister, Mr. Cannon, now Chief Minister, completed the purchase on the 25th of May 2018. To this day, it's owned by the Treasury and run as an arm's length organisation. Treasury is the shareholder, of course, on behalf of you and me. So any thoughts on this, Steam Packet? Dan Clegg, the new chair of the Steam Packet, said the previous ownership had been a bit of a mishmash. Well, he had other words. But any thoughts on this? Steam Packet has often been regarded, and certainly the people who owned it, regarded it as a cash cow. It produces money. It makes a profit. Why? Because the Isle of Man is flourishing. And it carries an awful lot of freight and a lot of people. So, it's ours. What do we do with it now? Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp, or whatever's on your mind. By the way, weather conditions are set to improve. This is the latest from the TT people. The organisers say it's hoped to provide enough time for conditions around the course to improve sufficiently for qualifying to take place this evening. There'll be another update at 3:45 today. So we keep our fingers crossed. Howard's first with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. While you were talking there with the Steam Packet, advice to the wise, as they say, is leave it alone. It's making money. The Manx utilities are wanting to get it under their wing only because of that money, because they've got so many debts around their neck that they need something else to pay these off. So leave the Steam Packet Company to be run by the Steam Packet Company. They're paying their way. They're paying their debts by returning the loan. It's over a period of time like everything else, but they will eventually pay that debt back. And sometime in the near future, they're going to have to replace the Mananan. And that will be something else that's going to take a great deal of money. But leave it alone and stop the government interfering. As they say, arm's length, stay that way. But one of the things that I mentioned to Howard there a minute ago, and that's what I was going to ask a question to the DOI, Boss Bannon. I had to go up to the hospital last week and parked, fine. Walking in, I noticed there that they've completed the new surface and pavements, etc., where the bus pulls in, just downside of the hospital entrance. But they've taken the shelter down, and it doesn't appear to be anything that's, or even facilities for it to go back up again. Are they removing this completely, and what are people going to do when the weather's inclement and all through the winter?
When did this happen?
It's been happening over a period of time. They had that section of the road all resurfaced, new pavements put in, and there's only a single miserable bench sitting there that people can sit on, that's all. And there doesn't appear to be any facilities to put a shelter up. And that's not the kindest of places to be sitting there in the middle of winter. Having been to the hospital to visit somebody and you don't have a car.
Well, I mean, surely this isn't a permanent thing.
Well, it looks like the job was finished. Now, this is an answer that could possibly come from the DOI or Boss Bannon, that there are plans to put a shelter there, or it's just been taken down and not replaced. It was a fairly healthy size shelter, And, you know, it was, I don't know, triple-sided. But having said that, people will need something when they're waiting for the buses to come through to take them to their various destinations.
Yeah.
So are they planning to put in a shelter there for the people? Or is another one on your bike? And, you know, you don't know what these people are doing. There doesn't seem to be any ideas, no word coming out. And I saw a lot of people standing there waiting on buses, and I thought, that's stupid, that. They used to be able to stand under a shelter, even away from wind.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be wet. Just get shelter from wind.
But that's not civilised, is it? To let people stand out in the open? Surely not.
Well, the people are sitting in their offices with a little piece of paper in front of them and a computer drawing these things. They don't take into consideration anything like that. It was a classic example, as I said before, when they'd done the roundabouts approaching into the airport. They put all lovely little triangular lumps of concrete in there, and the vehicles couldn't get round them, the larger vehicles. And it's the people who are designing these things. They have a set thing, a click on a picture, put that there, click on this, put that there, open it up, that's due nicely, and, oh dear, we forgot the bus shelter. But the whole area looks like it's finished.
Well,
and as I say, there's not even any markings or seemingly a markings on the floor where anything's going to go.
Well, we'll try.
We'll try
and find out. Yeah, I got a note in from Marty on this subject, who just said that apparently there are two people in charge of bus shelters, looking after them, and Marty, I won't exactly tell you what Marty says about them, but apparently, they don't, in Marty's opinion, they don't quite know what they're doing.
That sounds about right. That sounds about par for the course. So,
well, we'll find out. We'll just see what happens. And
well, I use a car, so hopefully I'll carry on using the car. But there are an awful lot of people have to go up there, and I'm meaning elderly people as well who don't want to be standing out, and, you know, in the weather.
Yeah, okay.
And that bus has been coming up round there, and the shelter's been there for an awful long time.
Okay. All right, Howard, good to hear from you.
Okay, take care.
Cheers.
Bye now.
14 minutes past 12, David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I'm going to talk about a planning application. It's not in Onchan, but it's in Douglas. It's in Williston on Ballinard Road. Your news reporter did a little story on it, which was good. And people are probably going to wonder why I'm going to get involved in this one. For 21 years, I lived in Timmel Road in Williston with my mother and father and brother. So I used to play in this particular area, which was grass. And in them days, the only bits of grass were in by the Manor Hotel there, and then down at this area in Ballinard Road, which was flat, which you could play football on. And I'm quite amazed, really, that the council itself and the politicians, I can give them some latitude on it because they've just been elected. And I hope that the new councillor for Douglas North actually gets involved. That's Fenella. If she's listening, I hope somebody tells her that I've been talking about it. And she gets involved in that particular area because, if I could say to you, Randy, I don't know whether you know the area yourself.
Yeah.
And I know it very well. Snaefell Road, there were two houses knocked down. There's been a compound there for at least nearly 3 or 4 years and never put back to housing. Also, where the shops are, there was a massive block built of flats and apartments there, which is great. There's a massive compound opposite there, which used to be a grassed area. And I can't understand why the council itself or its officers have not considered that apartments are coming to a close now. So there'll be people occupying them, and then the compound will be reduced and done away with. And it's in the centre of Williston, and which is an actual real location point. So I'm really annoyed with them regarding that, because like lots of people have been on, and some of the people that still live in Williston that I know have been on, and they've started some sort of Facebook group there, which I've joined, and I want to get involved and try and get the council to
actually... So why do you think they've done it, David?
Just for easiness, I think. I'm not sure. I've not spoken to any officers that at the council there. It's probably not my problem to get involved in it, but I will get involved in it. As I say, I lived there for 21 years. It's a nice area. And like the residents are saying around there now, you've got to have big estates there. You've got to have green areas where people can exercise themselves and kids can actually play. Mm-hmm. And that's the main issue. So I hope people come on. And you've got your new leader of the council coming on Thursday.
Yes,
you?
He'll be on. Devon Watson will be on.
I'll be expecting, because he'll be listening, he'll be making sure that people aren't saying anything as I'm coming up. I'll be asking him a direct question, if I do get an opportunity to come on, the same, how did this come about? What other place did you look at? And do you not consider that the areas you've already got as compounds in Williston suitable enough to satisfy this need?
Okay, all right. Thanks, David.
See you, mate.
Cheers. Bye. Now, 17 minutes past 12. Can you believe it's 7 and a bit years? Since the government bought the steam packet. So it's owned by the Treasury, run as an arm's length organisation. The history is, it's been quite convoluted recently, but it's worth remembering that the steam packet's successful. But at one time, it wasn't. The 1980s, crikey. Things were up and down, up and down. Remember, Manx Line was in action, the ferry operator. Manx Line was, I think, in service between 1978 and 1985, Manx Line had the Manx Viking, and then Manx Line merged with SeaLink. Or, if you like, SeaLink took over Manx Line. And then the steam packet merged with SeaLink for a while. In 1996, the steam packet became a subsidiary of Sea Containers. Do you remember Jim Sherwood? Very charismatic American, a born British businessman who owned Sea Containers. So it was owned by Sea Containers. He pioneered the fast craft. And then in 2003, the company was sold for £142 million to Montague Private Equity. There was a management buyout. 2 years later, bearing in mind, Montague Private Equity, I think that's Lloyds Bank, paid £142 million. 2 years later, it was sold to Macquarie, the Australian bank, for £225 million. £142 million in 2003, £225 million in 2005. When Macquarie finished, of course, it went to that South American pension fund. They defaulted and it ended up with a Portuguese bank, and that's where we got it from. But that's how much the steam packet is worth. And it is now owned by Treasury on behalf of us and run as an arm's length operation. Lars Uglund has gone as steam packet chairman. The new chair is Dan Clegg.
My task, as I see it, is to support the board. That's my job. It's definitely not to run the company. We've got some excellent, very experienced people here to do that already. So my job is to use my marine, ferry and financial services experience to support the board and the management team in the way they want to take the company.
What have you made of the company so far since you've been here?
I was familiar with the ships and the operation already, and I think that's pretty well set up. I think there are some things to develop and some priorities that we've got in the future, but I think that the operation is actually very good. My first impression of the organisation is that it's actually also in very good condition, and I've been particularly impressed to find people here who've been, was one chap I met yesterday who's worked for the company since 1973. So there is a fantastic spine in the company of experience of people who really care about the business. So that's given me a lot of encouragement.
And from your experience in the industry, how do you think the steam packet compares to some other companies that are similar?
It compares very well indeed. And I think if you look around the British Isles, other similar size ferry companies providing lifeline services to island communities, the island does a fantastic job in comparison with those.
Any thoughts on this? Remember, you pay for it. And I'm not just talking about if you buy a passenger ticket or a car plus one or car plus two ticket. whenever you buy something that's come to the Isle of Man through the steam packet, you're supporting the steam packet. The steam packet's bulk of its money comes from freight, and a lot of it. Lots of freight comes to the Isle of Man every day, transported by the Manxman and previously the Ben McCree, and also at one point the Arrow. So lots of freight comes. That's, of course, charged through to the retailers and the wholesalers, and you and I pay that. So we all support the steam packet in that way, and it makes a lot of money. Happily, that money is now going to our coffers, into the national coffers, rather than Macquarie Bank or Sea Containers or anybody else. The bank is Espirito de Santo. So now we've got it. So how do you think, if you have any thoughts on how this could be moved forward to benefit from the Isle of Man, or do you think it's benefit enough, the fact that the profit now comes to us rather than somebody else? And it's also sort of opposite to realise that the ports that we go to are owned by somebody else, and the DOI owns our port. So the steam packet is separate to all those. So any issues with, the Peel Group, who own Heysham and own that bit of land around the Liverpool landing stage, that's separate to the steam packet. The steam packet's a separate company run by Mr. Thompson and his board of directors. So, Oh, and a point from the phones.
Oh, hello. This is Anne. I live on Central Promenade, and everyone's tried to get those lovely lights back. It's miserable. After the Villa Marina, it's like gloomy, dull, uninteresting in the evening. The Prom looked so lovely when you sailed in of an evening when we had the fairy lights. Palace Road is beautiful. Douglas Head is beautiful. Please, see if David Cretney can possibly have a look and help us. It's miserable. Thank you very much.
That was a message from the phones on Friday when Douglas City Councillor David Cretney was on Man in Line, former MHK, former MLC, now Douglas City Councillor. So, well, I'll put that point to Mr. Watson. Devon Watson is here, leader of Douglas City Council, is here on Thursday. We've had lots of messages and saying that you're having problems playing Alexa, Manx Radio on Alexa. It's via an app called TuneIn. And it's their problem, not ours, but obviously we're getting the complaints. So to enable Manx Radio on your Alexa, what you need to say is, Alexa, enable the skill Manx Radio. Okay? Alexa, enable the skill Manx Radio. Then you say, Alexa, play Manx Radio, or Alexa, ask Manx Radio to play, obviously, Manx Radio FM, Manx Radio Gold, Manx Radio AM. But if you are having a problem with Alexa getting Manx Radio, it's not us. It's a company called TuneIn, and we're working with them to try and resolve it. So, Alexa, enable the skill Manx Radio.
Where has a five-star selection of hand-picked quality cars?
Manx Car Store!
Where are you guaranteed a five-star friendly professional service?
Manx Car Store!
And where has five-star prices on cars covering all budgets? That's right, Manx Car Store on Kirby Farm Industrial Estate, open 7 days a week. To see their range of quality cars and over 250 five-star reviews, just visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook. Manx Car Store, a place you can really trust.
The extended Ramsey Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Isle of Man Creamery presents stress-free food shopping with our doorstep delivery service. In time for breakfast, enjoy fresh milk, cheese, cream, Noah Bakehouse pastries, bread, coffee, juice, eggs and potatoes delivered straight to your door every day. And if that sounds good, we don't charge for island-wide deliveries. Love food and drink delivered super fresh? Sign up and order online today at isleofmancreamery.com.
Are you a master splasher, an audacious aviator, or just a madcap amateur? Then hurry and secure your entry into the 54th annual World Tin Bath Championships. On Saturday, the 14th of June in Castletown Middle Harbour, compete in the iconic snake racing, the majestic man-powered flying, or paddle to glory in a traditional tin bath. Visit worldtinbath.com to enter. The 54th World Tin Bath Championships, supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
You never need to worry about being fed up, not stimulated or instantly happy. That's okay to feel like that.
The Breath Podcast, Spectacular Decision Making with Karen, is available now at manxradio.com.
Your body will let you know what you need to do.
Brought to you by The Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
27 minutes past 12. Hannah dropped me a note and just said, "That's nothing," regarding that person who's just used the last of their stockpile pasta from COVID. Hannah said, "I've got 16 jars of instant coffee that I stockpile. I don't know why I stockpile them. I just bought instant coffee during COVID and I've still got them, working my way through it." Well, 10 cups a day, that'll be fine for you. Thank you, Anna, for that. Did you stockpile anything? Do you remember when people went absolutely nutty, didn't they? Getting dry pasta, bottled water, I think tea bags was one, and I think cotton buds, they were quite high on the list. Yeah, Devon Watson's been mentioned. Devon's the leader of Douglas City Council for the next 2 years. He's on Man in Line this coming Thursday. Devon wants expanded and improved services for Douglas ratepayers, and he also wants to hold central government accountable. Well, this has happened. You heard David Cretney talking about this, and certainly you heard Tony Brown, Council Town Commissioner, talking about holding central government accountable. Now, after the recent election, half of the councillors are new to the role. So is this a brand new council? And what are they going to do? Devon Watson, Douglas City Council leader, is on Man in Line on Thursday. And if you've got any thoughts that you want to put in the meantime, email studio@manxradio.com or email maninline@manxradio.com or the answer phone 682-631. Mark's on now. Hi, Mark.
All right, Andy, how you doing, fella?
Very well, thank you. Do without this weather.
Oh, well, you see, the problem with that is that you kept saying every single day next week how lovely it was, so it's entirely your fault.
Oh, it's my fault. Well, everything else might as well be that.
You've gone and upset my nan, and so you should have kept your mouth shut about how lovely it was.
Anyway.
Right, listen. If you, we had your man on before, what's his name, David from Onken, talking about the trees at the bottom of Willis and the bottom of Manor Drive. I had a look at them before. Now, there are some very, very healthy lime trees and ash trees, and I'm not sure if they're ash or cedar, but there's definitely some lime trees, and there's two very, very, very old, very well-maintained horse chestnut trees there. Now, I could be completely wrong here, but I'm fairly certain DEFA will easily slap a banning order on Douglas Council cutting them down, because those trees are a protected species. Now, if you remember, I was on the other day talking to you about sycamores.
Yeah.
Now, sycamores are not a protected species. They're an invasive species, and they are classed by DEFA as a nuisance and a pest. Now, Douglas Corporation don't want to cut them down. So basically, Douglas Corporation is saying, if it's a nuisance and a pest, we're not interested. But if it's a protected species and it's an old, beautiful tree that's in bloom all the time, we're going to hack it to pieces. Because that is the only way that they can actually use this field as a compound, is by cutting those trees completely down to the ground. Well, and like I said,
they wouldn't do that, would they?
Well, there's no other way of getting into the compound. There literally is no other way. They're talking. They said it's here in the paper that they're going to be using the field for Skip's large construction machinery. Now, I mean, you've probably gone past the lane, haven't you, Andy, on a few occasions?
Yeah.
You know, you can barely get a car down it. How are you going to get a wide tipper truck down it? How are you going to get an excavator down it? You can't. The whole point of it was they were going to go across the road from the bottom of Williston, and they were going to knock the trees down and drive straight onto the field. That was the plan. The only way to do that is because you cannot get a large vehicle up that lane. The only way they can do that is to cut the trees down, and I'm fairly certain DEFA will be monitoring it and saying, no, you're not. But this might make you chuckle, and this is something you can possibly ask Devon. What constitutes, in Douglas Corporation, what constitutes the word temporary?
Ah.
And I'll tell you why, mate. The letter that they sent out to residents of Ballinard Road, Norwood Drive, said it doesn't include a timeline or map of details, but it says, however, the letter does say the site will be temporary and will be made as inconspicuous as possible. Now, I'm not an expert on building sites, but they're very hard to camouflage at the best of times. But the following paragraph goes, it's also confirmed the site will be needed for several years. So Douglas Corporation have classed the word temporary as at least 7 years.
Blimey.
So, Andy, next time you get offered a temporary contract Manx Radio, You're going to know, mate, that it's for at least 7 years.
We'll do it under Douglas Council rules.
Exactly. There you go, my friend. Everybody that's listening to The Man in Line now, or The Andy Winch Show, as it should be called, should now know that several years is temporary.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
I've written that down. Thanks a lot.
Good, man. See you later.
Good to hear from you. 27 minutes before one. Perhaps somebody could show the people responsible for bus shelters a picture of an actual bus shelter and see if they know exactly what it is. Regarding the item on the news about visiting bikes not being penalised for breaking our parking laws, I hope this applies to local people too. For 2 weeks, you can park wherever you like with no penalties and hang the consequences. I bet we wouldn't get the same courtesy when visiting their hometowns. I think one warning, then a fine, said Sue. I remember talking to a member of the constabulary years and years ago, must be 20 years ago, when they said when fines were handed out, the most cooperative nationality was the Germans. They felt they couldn't leave the Isle of Man without paying their fine. They were up at the court paying fines. Any thoughts? I think the company, says Terry Kate, the company making TT merchandise should make light, wet weather clothing instead of T-shirts and polo shirts, judging by the weather over the last 2 years. Saddened to see, says John, that the Crossuggs campsite have had the hedges cut in Crossuggs Lane in Ramsey on Sunday morning. Foxgloves, bluebells, butterflies, bees, wildflowers, all gone. This doesn't improve vehicle use of the lane. Very sad to see. It's not wildlife friendly, says John. Manx Police, says Alan, used to have a sensible and firm but fair way with bikers. They had fun with them. It now has the South Yorkshire way of fining them for everything, says Alan. H dropped a note in just to said, could you pursue an answer regarding what's happened to the questionnaire about making the payment for care homes fairer, please? I took a great deal of time to thoroughly answer the questions last year, but now there's a deafening silence. It is a huge issue that, in my opinion, is urgent. This questionnaire about making the payment for care homes fairer, has it been kicked into the long grass? Maybe the DOI's robbed the bus shelter from the hospital. Maybe it's going at Port Jack, says Steve. I don't think so. Congratulations to the DOI, says Southern Andy, on painting the ferry bridge. It looks resplendent for the bikers to pay their respects to the little people. And Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Andy. How are you, Steve?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Why don't the steam packet run around the island cruise for TT, Andy?
Well, I don't know. Do you think they'd make money doing it?
I think they'd make money doing it. I suppose the boats are too busy really doing going backwards and forwards in TT for to be doing any around the island cruises. But you'd think they could do it sometime during the year, wouldn't you? Around the island cruise, especially now they've got the Ben McCreese out there doing nothing. And Andy, I just wonder why we manage to do a day trip to Dublin once a year on in all day, as is traditional. You know, why can't they take the Milan and off the Liverpool route just for one day a year to put her on the Dublin day trip route? Instead.
Trying to remember the last time that there were day trips to Dublin. How long ago is that now?
I think the last ones were in 2011, around that time. I don't think there's been too many since then, when they had the Snaefell running alongside the Mananen. And but Andy, the Isles of Scilly Steamship Company has got a boat up for sale at the end of the season, the Salonian, which is getting replaced. They are replacing her on the Penzance to St Mary's route. And I think the steam packet could buy her, because she's a lovely little vessel, and she's passenger only, like an old passenger steamer, but she's diesel. And they could run her to land, didn't they? And on all the tourist routes, like on all the day trip routes that they used to run to Ardrossan and to Brodick and the Isle of Arran and to Fleetwood, you know, and why not do that? Because we were saying the other week that the Waverley can't come here because of international regulations and things, and the Balmoral's out of action at the moment, although she's coming back, but she'll be subject to the same regulations as the Waverley. So why don't the steam packet get themselves the Salonian? She's going cheap down there. She's quite an old boat, but she's a lovely old boat, and get her running on the day trip routes and around the island cruises.
I suppose there's a thing in business, you know, that you have to pump prime a business, you have to build it up, and starting, you know, from doing nothing, the steam packet would have to concentrate on, if you like, doing those pleasure trips. Is it their job to do that, Adam?
I don't know, Andy. I mean, they could do. I mean, if the Salonian boat's too big, they could get a smaller boat. There's all sorts of smaller cruise ships in operation around the British Isles. I'm sure they could find one second hand or have one built at, you know, Appledore or somewhere. There's a shipyard up on the Clyde. I can't remember what it's called. And so they could find something smaller to do, you know. The steam packet could do that, couldn't they?
What did you think of that suggestion a short while ago? There was an MP across that said they wanted to start running, they've got some development money for Whitehaven, and they wanted to start running ferries from Whitehaven to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea, Andy. There is one problem with that. We did, the steam packet used to do day trips to Whitehaven on the Snaefell for a few years back in the 2000s, at the late 2000s, and they were saying they can't do it anymore because of the wind farms built across. So the Eastern Irish Sea is getting less and less navigable because of the wind farms, unfortunately.
Right.
But Whitehaven was Whitehaven's a lovely little town, which has, you know, historic links with the Isle of Man, and obviously the first steam packet boat went across to Whitehaven back in 1830. So it would be nice to have it, but I don't know whether it's feasible any longer.
Yeah, as I say, I don't want to. I mean, I wouldn't. If Mr. Thompson were on, Brian Thompson were on, I don't want to second guess what he'd say, but he'd probably say, I've got all on running the steam packet at the moment. Perhaps it's Visit Isle of Man's job to, you know, to build up trade for other ports or do excursions.
Yeah, perhaps, or, you know, it's just a shame this international regulation, if we can get to the bottom of it. I know Captain Stephen Carter came on the other week and spoke about it and said he's the one who said about international regulations and you not being able to get the Waverley or Balmoral over here, but it's such a shame because Manx people love day excursions, and obviously the public of the Isle of Man always enjoyed them, so...
And also, there are many smaller ports around the Irish Sea that, you know, remember when the steam packet, when there was a connection to the Isle of Man. Obviously, the boats used to go from the end of Llandudno Pier to the Isle of Man. And Fleetwood, obviously, has got links with the Isle of Man. And they all remember, and perhaps that would bring more people to the Isle of Man. But the problem is, Adam, we don't know until we try it, and who's going to take the risk?
I don't know, Andy, but the steam packet could branch out a bit. The end of the pier in Llandudno, it's not being used by anybody except for Waverley at the moment. It's great. It's, you know, it's sad that they've got a pier which is unused. But the steam packet could branch out a bit into day excursions and things, or it could branch out into freight bulk cargo or something, which it used to do and doesn't do anymore. So they don't really, you know, they're not investigating new markets, really, the steam packet. They tend to stay with the same old thing, which is row-row shipping across the Irish Sea and obviously fast craft. So you'd wonder why they don't sort of branch out a bit sometimes.
Okay. All right, Adam. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy.
Mr. NT dropped me a note in just to say that the DOI can't control any of their contractors. Is that right? The amount of half-finished or completed jobs with barriers, bollards and concrete mess and uneven finishing is astonishing. I regularly contact them on their app, showing pictures of bad workmanship, left signage, yellow barriers, motorway cones that either they or their contractors leave around the streets. Who, if anybody, is quality checking these jobs for the DOI to assure that they're fit for purpose or whether the invoices should actually be paid? The Sip Gaz says, Andy, there seem to be a lot more motorhomes here this year, probably carrying their own food and drink, so the government surely should revisit the value of the TT to the economy. Are there more motorhomes than before? I know they've been moving a few on. Perhaps somebody should show... there was a message about this, and it was about the people that were... prosecuted for bringing meat in. I'll come to that in a moment. It was a message in, and this was from Ian, who just said, you were talking about the net zero targets and whether or not they can be varied, and the fact that the Isle of Man government has got a net zero target. Now, I'm indebted to Christian Jones in our newsroom, who's found this out for you and me. The Council of Ministers may by regulations amend an interim target, but the Council of Ministers may by regulations, when exercising its power under subsection 3, the Council of Ministers must not amend an interim target in the way that would substitute a later date by which the target must be reached, or substitute a percentage target with a lower percentage target, i.e. it is the law at the moment. The Isle of Man has a net zero target. It's in the law, and the Climate Change Act 2021 setting of interim targets, section 10, subsection 3, says the Council of Ministers must not amend an interim target in a way that would substitute a later date by which the target must be reached, or substitute a percentage target with a lower percentage target. So we're locked in. It's the law. It has to happen.
For the finest quality bespoke driveway gates on the island, it can only be Green Valley Farm Supplies. Green Valley specialise in designing and crafting durable bespoke driveway gates to your exact requirements, bringing functionality and sophistication to your home with a variety of styles, high quality materials and finishes. Available supplied and fitted or supply only. For more information, just visit greenvalley.im. Green Valley Farm Supplies, for a gate that's uniquely yours.
At Holmes & Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultra-wide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health, because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes & Davidson Douglas. Clarity, care, cutting edge technology.
Quadlock is the strongest and most secure mounting system in the world for integrating your phone, camera or accessories into your outdoor pursuits and for your car, van or motorhome. See the Quadlock display at H&H Motorcycles in South Key, Douglas.
Ellen Van In Fuels promotes road safety and would like to thank their customers for their understanding about restricted access and deliveries on and around the TT course during this year's festival. Safety first with Ellen Van In Fuels.
The Journey to a Dream podcast isn't just about fast bikes. It's also about generational adrenaline, how to prepare for the mountain course, and caffeine.
I must say coffee's a strong point on a morning, you can imagine.
You could just got it on a drip. Do you have problems sleeping, Daryl?
On the night before a meeting, yes, definitely.
If you've a plan in your head as to what you're going to be thinking about at a given point in the track, it'll help you.
Me? I work in an office. You'd never guess,
no,
would
you? No, you don't. Yeah, really? Don't,
yeah. Yeah. What did you think? Model.
The Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, is available now on the Manx Radio Motorsport website or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 1:15 now. Yes, the story about a couple that were arriving in Douglas. It was last week. 5 kilograms of imported meat and cheese was seized from 2 people arriving in Douglas. It follows a ban implemented in April aimed at preventing the spread of foot and mouth. More than 4 kilograms of cooked meats and 11 packets of cheese were confiscated by Customs and Immigration. The seizure was the first made since the ban was implemented in line with UK regulations. Now, the import restrictions make it illegal to bring common items such as sandwiches, cured meats and cheese from the EU or European Economic Area for personal use. The Manx government's confirmed the seized products will be held while the vehicle owners are formally contacted and added if the matter proceeds to court, they could face a fine. The chief veterinary officer, Amy Beckett, Dr. Beckett, says there are currently no foot and mouth cases in the British Isles and we want to keep it that way. Anybody who suspects foot and mouth should contact DEFA immediately, 685 844. So they seized all that meat and cheese. And you wonder with the amount of mobile homes that are here for TT, whether any more has been brought over that we don't know about. Bruce, thank you, Bruce. Good to hear from you in Ramsey. The subject of several years, the guy phoned in and said several years is 7 years. 1 year is a year. 2 years is a couple of years. 3+ years are several years. So temporary is 3 years up to 10 years. After that, it becomes a decade. Good, we got that sorted out. What about Opal then? They seem to be taking in all sorts of risks. Why not a small vessel going round the Isle of Man, says Nick the skipper. Well, somebody's got to take a risk, haven't they, Nick? If it's nice to suggest things, then it would be nice for these things to be there. But having a small vessel going round the Isle of Man, maybe it would work. The Carina, obviously, that Captain Carter operated for quite a while, that did quite well doing trips. It was the trip boat on the front at Douglas for a long time. But having a steam packet boat or a big boat going elsewhere, well, is it the steam packet's job? If we're shareholders, why not give the residents discount on the boat the other small islands do? It has happened. That's been the suggestion in the past, that as shareholders, if you like, or obviously we as the people fund the government, and the Treasury is the shareholder, then maybe everybody should get a discount voucher, at least one discount voucher per year, or some money off. It would cut into the bottom line, wouldn't it? You know, you have to ask the company accountant. If the climate's getting warmer and wetter in the future, perhaps the TT should be run on wet weather tyres with engine speed limiters. And noting, just saying, yeah, well, I've been having problem playing Manx Radio FM on Google. It plays Manx Radio AM when you ask it to play Manx Radio FM. Are you aware of this? We're aware that via this app called TuneIn, there have been some issues. But I mentioned before exactly how you get around it. You mentioned that it's a flagpole in Derby Square, and where it's gone, the pole in Derby Square isn't a flagpole, says David. He says it's the mainmast from an old tea cutter. There used to be a plaque with its details on at the base. So has it been taken away, or has it just been taken away to be polished, or where is it? Listening to Adam about the lovely plants, does anybody know who's poisoned all the beautiful pink and red valerian plants on the Bride Road going out to the Point of Ayre? It's a massacre, says Mary in Ramsey. Anybody know anything about it? Nobody owning up to that, are they? And more messages to come, tons of messages to come, and I've just got some of the ones that are left over from Friday that we were so busy with David Cretney on Friday. This is one is saying, I'm sorry, it's moan, says Jane. This 20-mile-per-hour thing is just the last straw. Where do the government priorities lie? The 20-mile-per-hour thing does not need to be top of the list. Even when within the DOI, there are so many other things that should be further up the list. My MHK simply think that people posting on Facebook or listening to Man in Line are in the minority. I find it impossible to identify with anything one of them supports, and they have have no voice at all. It worries me that nobody's going to stand against the current MHKs in the next election. And if nobody does, what then? Now, there were some messages about immigration. that I just wanted to get to. And the Cabinet Office Minister, David Ashford, is bringing a report on inward migration for debate later on this year. Now, the Isle of Man's built on immigration and has been for a long, long time. But the Isle of Man, says David Ashford, needs to ensure its visa routes are fit for purpose. With the UK considering changes to its immigration policy, how is this going to affect us on the Isle of Man? David Ashford.
There is no change as currently proposed. These are things that the UK government are considering they might actually do. So it is very important at the moment to stress that's where it is in the UK. Obviously, we try where we can to align tightly with the UK. We do have the ability to vary where we believe it's in the national interest to do so. But we will wait and engage, obviously, with the Home Office in the UK.
What are the things that are being looked at, and what are the changes that we may or may not see?
So it's basically review across our entire immigration system. As I said in my statement, you know, as an island, we have been very welcoming to new arrivals in the island for centuries. We've built ourselves on immigration, and one of the key planks of the message is for those that wish to come to the island to work and contribute to our society, they will always be welcomed with open arms. But one of the things we've got to do is ensure that our visa routes are fit for purpose, and ensure that if you have people trying to abuse that system, that they are actually caught, and that visa routes are not open to that type of abuse.
How do you get the right balance on this?
The key message is controlled immigration. It's about ensuring as a nation that we have the, you know, we have the people that we need coming in, because we do have vacancies across a large number of sectors. Our entire economic model, if you go back over, like I say, not just a few decades but also centuries, has actually been built with the help of people coming in, becoming part of our community, and actually, you know, becoming effectively integrated within our community and building up our economy, which benefits absolutely everyone on the island. And it's important that we keep that economic model. But like I say, it's equally important that the phrase is controlled immigration, that we are getting the right people in to fill the right vacancies.
David Ashford, now, have you got any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Mike's on now. Hi, Mike.
Hello there, Andy. Your comment then about the running the TT in the wet.
Yeah.
Now, some years ago I was a CSM, and we were told that the tyre manufacturers will not guarantee a wet tyre around the TT course, because although we can do it on the southern, and they do it in the northwest, 200, etc., the lap is so much longer, and the tyre manufacturers wouldn't guarantee that the tyres wouldn't break up, especially if they went from wet onto dry roads. And so there you have it. The insurance won't go for that
really?
Anymore.
The tyre so tire technology isn't guaranteed where that's concerned then?
Not for a 37 and three-quarter mile lap. This is late 2000s, I was told this. So unless it's moved on considerably, tyres. I mean, I've just marshalled down at the pre-TT and they ran in the wet and we had some fantastic races. But that was the reason we were told, because this comes up every year, or let them run in the wet. It was because of the length of the lap, the tyre manufacturers will not guarantee they'll last a lap without breaking up.
Okay, appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Cheers now. 6 minutes before one. Howard's on now. Well, you've got an answer, haven't you, about Derby Square,
well,
Howard?
It's not an answer. It's about two, maybe even 3 years ago, the Douglas Town Council, City Council, whatever they call themselves, took down the pole in Derby Square. And their reasoning was that it was dangerous and they wanted to make the area safe. But at the time, the park superintendent, the man there, his name, I can't remember at the moment, but he has since passed away, God love him. And the person that's taken over is probably unaware that the council, park department, etc., promised to replace this. Now, I'll stand corrected, but I think there was a weather vane on the top of that. And it was there, oh, Lord knows how many years, must have been there 50 years. So it could well have been in a dangerous condition, but the promise was from the Douglas Town Council to replace it.
Okay.
And they never have.
Well, that's another question for Mr. Watson on Thursday.
It is, yes, because the person that's in charge of the Parks Department now, well, I suppose her idea of looking after the parks is cutting the costs, and this could be one of the things that's fallen into the wayside.
Okay.
She might not even know about the promise the town council gave to replace that, but I can remember that when, as I say, over 50, 60 years ago, that long, it was quite a big pole in the
fence. Yeah, well, it was very handsome, wasn't it?
It was, yes. And I'm not I'm not sure of whether it was part of a mast or something, a spar, but regardless of that, if it was taken down and the promise was made, then you should keep that promise back again and not renege on it.
All right, thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye now.
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel also said to me, Andy, you've not congratulated Darren Hope, the new chair of Jerby Commissioners. Well, I have now. Congratulations, Darren Hope, new chair of Jerby Commissioners. Everybody's been asking how to tame Alexa from Manx Radio. You say, Alexa, enable the skill Manx Radio. So, Alexa, enable the skill Manx Radio. Then say, Alexa, play Manx Radio. Or ask Manx Radio to play AM, FM, Manx Radio Gold. So, Alexa, enable the Manx, the skill Manx Radio. Best of luck. Thanks to Howie on the phones today.
WINT.